I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma. You are listening to the Complex Sneakers Podcast. As always, I have my two guys with me, Mr. Matt Welty.
Just a lovely weekday here in Jersey City.
And of course, you know who he is, Mr. Brendan Dunn. How are you, buddy? Oh, okay.
Hello.
All right. He's coming in hot. Okay. He's coming in hot. The big game. He had the pizza for the big game. And
that's
it's
right.
Okay. You have the big game hangover a little with the pizza?
That was the worst Super Bowl.
It was rough.
I'm so mad I invested the time into it.
It was rough. It wasn't close. You thought maybe Mahomes. This isn't the Complex Sports Podcast, but let me give you some analysis.
Go ahead.
Let's get some analysis on the big game. You know, I thought Mahomes maybe halftime he comes out in the third quarter, and I thought maybe it would be a little closer. It was not close at all. That defense, shout out to JPP, New York Giants.
Is that the guy with the messed up finger?
Well, he has only a few fingers, but yeah.
There we go.
Yes, and that defense, it wasn't close, but I hope you guys had some good food. I had some wings over Farmingdale, a classic boneless wing spot that at UConn, it used to be Wings Over Stores.
You mean boneless wings like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Wings Over Stores. They're not tenders, and they're not traditional wings. We go to Long Island one day. You guys got to have them. And then I had, like I said on the previous podcast, I had a nice antipasto spread. I'm going to show you guys the picture after we get off this. So,
Joe, I don't want to call you out here, but I almost feel like boneless wings at a Super Bowl party is a faux pas.
No.
Well,
let's be real, though. Not even at a Super Bowl party, boneless wings are for children.
I eat both. It's just sometimes the wings.
Boneless wings are for a child.
For a child.
To be fair, it's more like a Stickies type of wing. It's almost like a tender.
I can get down with Stickies.
Okay, it's almost like a tender, but
it's a tender.
Don't knock it until you try it. Have I ever steered you guys wrong when it comes to food? I'm telling you guys.
Has he, Welty?
No. Welty, have I?
I don't know. We need maybe there's some sort of situation where he has, but
off the top of my head, no, but
okay,
like,
so then
I'm trying to jog my memory and think.
No, I never steered you guys wrong.
So I was with a handful of guys watching it, and a friend of ours that was over, he thought after it.
We're not going to say his name, right? Because we say his name too much on here, so we don't need to say his name this time.
It's not him. Not him. Just a different person that doesn't need to be named. After, I think, the first quarter when the Chiefs were losing, he was like, oh, I think the Chiefs are going to come back. I'm going to put $1,000 on the Chiefs.
In the middle of the game?
Because we're in New Jersey, and they have, like, there's legal gambling in New Jersey, but we're so close to New York that the app didn't recognize that he was in New Jersey. It thought he was still in New York.
So the bet
didn't go through, or he would have lost $1,000.
Well, listen, that's good, because he should have took that $1,000, looked to his left, and just got a pair of 2004 Air Force Ones from a friend we don't have to mention because he gets mentioned every time. But okay, so that's good. He didn't lose $1,000. That's good.
Yeah.
I got to say thank you to my friends in Jersey who always set up the bets for me. Anytime I need to bet on a sporting event, I will text a friend of ours out in Jersey to put the money on it for me.
You bet, Dunn? You bet?
Ask Adam Caparo of the Complex Sports Podcast. I've laid some money here and there. I got a pretty good track record.
Look at you. You go to Jersey one time and you win the raffle with who? Dracula? And all of a sudden you're a betting man? Who knew?
A little bit here and there. A man's got to have a couple vices.
Let's get early to Sneaker News. We're recording this on Tuesday, February 9th, 7 years from what release? A big release.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have the release that is 7 years to the day?
We'll say it.
I'm waiting for...
Never came close.
It's the Red October, the Yeezy 2, Kanye Red October. I never came close either. It's... Where does the Yeezy 2 Red Octobers rank in the pantheon of Yeezy 2s? Still think the black and pink best colorway? Can we agree on that?
You know what? I don't like it. I mean, obviously it's a gigantic moment and was so cool because of how it released after Kanye had kind of parted ways with Nike, and it released out of nowhere on Nike store via a random tweet that Sunday 7 years ago. But I never really loved the sneaker like that. It's just not that interesting. I mean, it was interesting to see the wave of sneakers that came afterward, how every brand was doing all red sneakers for 18 months in the period right after. But I don't love the Red October Yeezy 2.
I think especially like us working in it at the time, there's just the amount of news stories that you had to like relive the history and rewrite about the Red October. Every single time you mention the shoes and you just get like so sick of it by the time the shoe finally dropped, because that shoe dropped that weekend. It was the same weekend that the Diamond, we talked about it on the podcast, same weekend that the Diamond Highs dropped, and it was that Sunday afternoon. I think I had just gotten out of the shower, and all of a sudden you're just like, hey, the shoes dropped. And while they do hold a big place in the pantheon, I think it's just such an obvious hype shoe where it's like the grail for so many people that it's just kind of boring to some degree.
And the first glimpse was Kim Kardashian on SNL backstage, right?
That sounds right. I remember I saw them live because I saw Kanye at Governor's Ball. So the shoes came out 2014. I think I saw him at Governor's Ball in June 2013. And I remember seeing the Yeezys on his feet there, seeing them on stage, and that being another one of the events where there were first clear photos of the Red October Yeezys on his feet.
Is that when he had like that big wacky jacket on, or...
He was wearing a lot of wacky jackets at that point, but I'm not sure the exact jacket you refer to here.
I think it was like a Hader Ackerman or something to that degree. But either way.
We'll check Getty. We could check Getty after the podcast.
I couldn't see the jacket details from my distance in the crowd at Governor's Ball. I got a lot of bad memories of Governor's Ball, but that was a good one.
Okay. Well, that's for another day, another discussion. I'd like to...
Unless you want to hop into it here.
No, I'd like to hear more about that. Bad memories.
I'm not a festival guy. I don't like music festivals.
Me either. No way.
I feel like I've been offered that by PR people multiple times, and it's like the logistics of actually getting out to Governor's Island and going to see that just doesn't seem fun. So...
Yeah, festivals not my thing, really. You're in the grass for hours and hours. I'm just, you guys know me. I got
to
move
on. But you'll be in a tent, an air-conditioned tent somewhere, right, Joe? If Joe LaPuma goes to Coachella, like, what band? Are you getting the artist band on your wrist, Joe?
I don't know. Well, it depends who the headliner is, you know? What else we got? Sneaker news. What else is going on this week? You guys shooting this week or what?
Oh, yeah, we're shooting every single week. We did just launch an episode with your friend.
Andy Milonakis.
With your friend.
Oh, yes, we did. You did. Yes, this week, the Sal Vulcano episode. Such a great episode.
Yes, we had a great time with them. And you know, it's funny because sometimes we all interview so many people over and over again. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Sal on Joe's show, and it's like, sometimes you don't know how many sneaker stories people have in them, but then you find all these other threads and you pull at these things and you get these amazing anecdotes and just have fun talking to people about sneakers and figuring out the way they connect to footwear. And I'm so happy we had Sal Vulcano on Full Size Run so we could do that with him.
Amazing. I feel like Sal Vulcano, he comes on our shows and immediately lifelong complex soul collector friend. That's just the type of dude he is.
We salute him.
Go watch that right now. Very, very excited about that episode.
And there was also like a million people in the Twitter DMs saying, how come you're not talking about my opinion on the Trophy Room ones?
Oh, I saw that.
Okay. We'll talk about that here and there, but it's so funny because people get upset when you don't use your platform to express their opinion. And also, I would just remind people that our editorial schedule is not determined by the whims of sneaker Twitter. We cover all these relevant things. We will get there when we have the right things to say.
And also, I just want to put this out there. I know I wrote a story about bots, but if your whole Twitter timeline is AIO bots and cook groups, and you're getting mad about me for not talking about the Trophy Room ones that you wanted to bot. Just save your opinion to yourself. I really don't care what you have to say. I'm sorry, I don't.
Threw a little spice on there this week. Why not? Why not? Oh, my goodness.
The Trophy Rooms, they're finally coming out, though. They finally came out this week.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to have gone down. Well, we'll say about that. Spicy this week. I got to say, I need a little bit more spice in my life. Guys, my cooking routine is getting incredibly stale. And also when it's snowy outside, I have another excuse to not. You thought this was going to be another sponsored ad.
Is this an ad read?
This is not a bit.
Okay.
I'm talking about my real fucking life.
Go ahead.
And how I eat the same thing for dinner every single night. Wealthy knows because we have a little bit in the Soul Collector Slack where we always ask at around 5:41 p.m. Yes. What's for dinner. And inevitably, it's the same response for me every single time: spaghetti with the vegan sausage, and I'm getting burnt out, guys.
You make the spaghetti al dente though.
Should I?
No, he definitely doesn't.
Yes, you should be. Okay.
Okay.
Fake sausage, one thing. Make the pasta al dente though, at least. Okay.
That's the authentic way to do it.
Yes, we were in the Slack last night, and the dinner options were going back and forth. And I played the cut. I didn't say anything because I had a chicken burrito.
Okay.
It didn't fill me up. And then at 9:30, I was going to put it in the Slack this morning. I power moved it. 9:30 p.m., I had a chopped cheese from the bodega down the street. And I almost, it was right in the middle of us talking about the Bapes. I was like waiting in line for the chopped cheese, talking about the Bape discussion that we had in the Slack last night. So I almost chimed in and said, I'm waiting in line for a chopped cheese. But it was a power move.
That was a fun bit of nostalgia we were talking about in the Slack channel.
Yes.
Sorry to everybody who isn't privy to those conversations, but we'll share some of those details in here. But, you know, just thinking back about all the glory days of the Bathing Ape Bapesta, and I got stuck. You probably saw me tweet about it on Wayback Machine, looking at old prices for SBs and Bapes, trying to just remember, because I have such vivid memories of being on FlightClubNY.com, you know, 10, 14, 15 years ago, and looking at certain pairs and thinking, my God, how could anyone ever have $400 to spend on a pair of shoes, you know?
Also crazy, semi-related, did you guys read any bit of the New York Times article on Cause?
Oh, no. Yeah, I keep going back and forth on it today, yeah.
What was crazy about it, Welty?
There was just, like, some art critics who, like, shit on Cause and basically said that, like, if you enjoy Cause, it's like you think like Keeping Up with the Kardashians is like quality TV, and I'm just like, oh God.
Jersey's own.
Yeah.
Well, how many Cause pieces you got in the crib, Welty?
I think the only Cause thing I ever owned, it was a original fake. No, sorry, two things. Original fake New Era hat, and had one of like the Uniqlo t-shirts.
Does the Complex Clips cover count? Do you own that?
What's that?
Remember Cause did the Complex Clips cover? Pusha T?
Oh, Clips. Yeah. I don't have that, but did get to interview
that
Cause.
That cover is mentioned in the New York Times piece. Sorry, Welty.
Is it?
Yeah,
of course. Awesome. I got to read that right after this.
Got to interview Cause at one of his Uniqlo releases. Sat down with him for like a half an hour. Very interesting person.
I will never forget the Cause Jordan 4 release at the Brooklyn Museum. Yep. Wow, this is good.
I was there. Go ahead.
Jordan 4 release at the Brooklyn Museum. Former Complex editor-in-chief Noah Callahan-Bever was interviewing Cause for the release. And it was a cold, rainy night. I want to say it was March or something like that. And we were in the quote-unquote media line. I think I was with former Soul Collector EIC/GM Gerald Flores. I think BJ Betts was right next to us. Okay. And we were in the media/press line waiting for about 3 hours. There was a line on the backside of the museum. I know Joe didn't wait in either of these lines. There was a line on the backside of the museum for people who were just trying to buy the shoes, like on the retail raffle or whatever system they had going on there. But we in the front still had to wait and still had to kind of push through the doors to even get in, and then wait in another line once we got in. I remember when I finally got to buy the shoes after like 3 hours of waiting in line, that you had a wristband you would wear, and they didn't cut my wristband off. And they cut your wristband off when you buy it at the POS system inside the Brooklyn Museum so that you can't go back around. And I was talking to some friends of ours in the sneaker industry, the Rodriguez bros, all in the building, despite some of them working for Adidas and Puma at the time. And they were encouraging me to just loop right back around in the line and go buy a second pair. And I always think about whether or not I missed a second pair of Cause Jordan 4s that night, because I think it would have been easy because the wristband was still on my wrist.
You know what's funny about that? I had a pair. I think Jordan sent them. Thank you. Appreciate
everything. This is the difference between us. Me waiting in the cold, in the rain for 3 hours.
To your point, though, what I would say is, and I didn't know that, I mean, cause is cause, but I didn't know that it would be that big of a release. Those shoes aged in value a lot. Not the black ones, per se.
I like the black ones better.
I like the black ones, too.
That black one release was, like, so much fuck shit, because that was, like, right around the time when, like, Jordan had, like, cooled off a little bit, and they were looking to build up a little bit of momentum with the company again, and then they dropped the cause, but they made people believe that it was a friends and family only release by, like, seeding it super early and, like...
I got them for Complex Con to wear on stage. Yeah.
Everyone thought it was friends and family only.
It's a classic dynamic.
They sent them to the hotel. But that night that you say at the Brooklyn Museum, I remember I had a pair that Jordan sent.
Did you wait in line?
I don't know if I waited in line, but I do remember that to the Rodriguez brothers' credit, it was like, should I get a second pair? And I ended up getting a second pair, which was smart to do. But it seemed like as much as you waited in line and it was kind of tough to get – I think people were looping around and getting them that night.
Well, never say I don't have integrity, because I did not loop back around and I walked out of there with one pair, one measly pair of Cause Jordan 4s.
Do you still have those?
No comment.
Okay, yeah, because I was like, you're holding out if you haven't worn those. But
I think one of the most memorable bits from interviewing Cause, talking to him about the Jordan 4s, and like the reason why he didn't want to wear the shoes, is because he never wanted to be on the train and have like some kid come up to him and be like, "Oh my God, you're the guy who designed those sneakers." While he's wearing them, he doesn't want to have a conversation about the shoes, so he just doesn't wear them.
Oh. All right, well, to each his own. God bless.
He makes sculptures of himself. What does it mean he doesn't want to be famous like that? I mean, I guess he doesn't do that work too much anymore. But
as always, to the listeners, please like, subscribe, comment. We read all the comments.
We really do.
We do, and there's been a bunch lately, and please continue that trend, because we love to hear the feedback, and we are here to serve you guys, the audience. All right, guys, it's time to get to our guest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Our guest on today's podcast is a hip-hop legend who is one of the most influential artists in Southern rap. Alongside the late Pimp C, he was a member of the iconic group UGK that provided the soundtrack of Texas hip-hop for decades and then spread across the states in the modern-day era of rap. After the passing of Pimp C, he would continue the group's legacy by releasing 5 solo albums, all under the Trill umbrella, and cement his status as a true OG in the music industry. Ask any major rapper who has made a tour stop in Texas over the past 4 decades, and we're guessing they kissed the ring. Concurrently in his music career, he would also become one of the industry's biggest sneakerheads. Always putting on for Texas, he was a mainstay at the H-Town Sneaker Summit. He's been around footwear since the days of Pro Wings and Lecoq Sportif, all the way up to the modern-day Jordan PE craze. Today, he shares with us his stories from the past and present eras. Please welcome our friend, the Trill OG, Bun B.
Wow, that's high praise.
How you doing?
I'm
so good.
Good
to see you.
Kiss the ring. That's ill. Joe, can I just
to be honest, I had paid homage at first, and then I sprinkled the little
bump it up.
I sprinkled the little crack on it last night.
Whatever you charge for that is worth it.
We're so happy to have you with us.
Your view is a flex, Joe.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'm living surrounded by sneaker boxes, bunnies. Yeah. This guy's got the whole entire skyline.
I get that, and I'm sure Joe has that view, right? Joe has that backdrops, right? The wall of sneakers, I'm sure.
To be honest, they're not as high as these guys, but they're like right here. So, and they're at my feet. Yeah, for this, I try to leave it clear in the city behind me. So
that's not a green screen?
No, not a green screen. Not a green screen. Statue of Liberty right there. But yeah, Bun, so happy that you're joining us and chopping it up with us.
Yeah, Bun, enough about us. We want to talk about you. We want to talk about your sneaker history going all the way back. I know you have a story about that first pair that you really kind of had to hustle for. It was a pair of Jordan 1s, is that right? You were doing people's homework, helping them out?
Yeah, you guys did your research on this one. It was mainly science, right? I was helping a lot of guys get through science. It was, and they still crack jokes about that to this day. Like, I see those guys all the time. We're still good friends, and every time they see me, they'll be like, yo, Igneous rocks, that dude. You know what I'm saying?
How old were you at the time?
I would have been 13, 14, I guess. I'm thinking 14.
So they're paying you to help them with homework, and you're taking that money and buying Jordans with it.
I love that.
Yes. So it's ninth grade, maybe 15, I'm thinking. Now I'm thinking ninth grade, so it would have been 14, 15. But yeah, so that was the thing, because my parents didn't have a lot of money, and there was no way. I wasn't even going to ask my mom to buy me shit like that. Like, I didn't even, you know, times were hard enough on her without me, like, that begging her for shit that I know she can't afford anyway. So I knew I had to figure out a way to try to make it work. And so that was one of the odd jobs. I used to also, so my mom works in healthcare, and my mom deals with, like, invalids and people who basically are just kind of stuck at home all day. So I used to babysit some younger people. There was a kid, he was probably about 2 years older than me. So I would have to spend the night and basically just make sure he doesn't like choke on anything or, you know, he needs to go to the bathroom. And so I would get like $50 a night for that too. You know what I'm saying? So I was finding different ways of trying to get that bread back then. Cutting grass, which I don't even think that's a hustle for kids anymore. Like, just getting a lawnmower and walking the neighborhood and seeing who needs their yard cut. Like, I don't even think that's a hustle for kids anymore.
It's certainly changed for sure. Igneous rocks, though, take me back to the earth science regions, which I failed twice, by the way. Terrible time in high school for me.
You should have had me, Joe.
I needed a tutor like you or someone to actually do it for me. So yeah, Jordans, and then you were 13 or 14. And coming up, where were you shopping for them?
So we did have a Foot Locker here in Port Arthur. We did have a Foot Locker in Port Arthur, but they would get like a very limited stock of everything. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you'd have to go into Houston and go to like Greenspoint Mall or Sharpstown. Sharpstown usually would be the place of choice because Sharpstown had a Foot Locker. It also had like a Finish Line and had a Champ. So you had a couple of options as far as trying to get shoes. But I mean, even from, you know, I laugh about it because the same thing that we wanted, my kids want, right? So I used to stand in line for Jordans. My kids want Jordans now. My grandkids want Jordans. And it's crazy. So it's like this multi-generational connection that we all have through sneakers. And so I remember I would have to go to Sharpstown at midnight. Like down here, we used to do midnight releases. Did they do that in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So back in the day, all the releases would be at midnight. So you had to go to like the Hood Mall and, you know, work your way in, try to slide some money. And like they would open the gate maybe about this much, right? Just enough to slide
gate?
A pair of shoes. Yeah. Slide the shoes under the gate. But I knew you would see kids as soon as they walked out the mall in the parking lot get stuck, you know? And I remember having to take my kids to the mall. And it'd be like me and my kids, and I have other homies, and be like, yo, let's do this. Like, we're going to mob together. Mm-hmm. One, to make sure we get the shoe, but then also, two, to make sure we get home with the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think midnight releases would work right now.
Do you remember the store Active Athlete as well? Because I know that was, like, something that Jordan had done, like, the satin.
Yeah, I still shop there. Absolutely. Paul's the owner.
How big was that in Houston? Was that like a big part of the scene or?
Well, yeah, because I mean, for one, I think it's the oldest, right? Yeah. But then it's also very distinctive because of the neighborhood it's in. Like the people that go to Active Athlete for sneakers, they're not going to the Galleria, right? They're not going to, I mean, they're right around the corner from Gulfgate. They may not even go to Gulfgate Foot Locker, which Gulfgate has like a house of hoops. You know what I'm saying? So they get like good releases, but you know, it's one of those things that people go to Active Athlete, they get their shoes, they get their clothes, they get something for the wife, they get or the girlfriend, they get something for the kids. It's that one-stop shop in the hood, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, it's always been like a go-to spot, and Paul's always had like a really good relationship with these sneaker brands. So he's been able to get key sneakers. He's been able to do collaborations. He's been singled out for key releases, you know, build outs. You know, we've had Super Bowls here, All-Star. He's always been able to be a part of those things. So Active Athlete is probably that spot here, that single representation of sneaker culture here in the city.
Bun, when you talk about like the gates going up and being at malls and stuff like that, grabbing sneakers, what era are we talking about there? Is that 90s?
Yeah, that's late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Right. So between 89 to, I would say maybe up to 98.
It's just interesting to me because I feel like you don't hear that many stories that far back about people actually lining up or going crazy for sneakers like that or getting robbed like that right in the parking lot.
Yeah, and it was always really mostly Jordans, right? Mm-hmm. Like that'd be the issue. Like I remember they released for the 11s because I wanted the 11s.
Like the original 1995.
Yeah, the original 11s, right? Trying to get those, which were a big deal mm-hmm. here, right? So the patent leather, we don't call patent leather shoes here. We call them candy, mm-hmm. right? So it kind of correlates with the car culture.
Got it.
So guys want patent leather shoes at, you know, especially patent leather Jordans, guys want those. Like that it matches the scene. It fits the culture, right? It's not just a good looking shoe. And so there's always going to be that demand for that shoe in this city. But I remember the original release, right? And we're recording Riding Dirty. So I'm like, yo, I need these new J's because we got the photo shoot coming up, and that's the shoe that I want. And so I remember wanting to get those, and then the guy was like, yo, we've got these two, and then he's got the lows, like the cement lows.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what? I'll take those too. So I'm wearing the cement lows. I don't know if that's in the artwork, but if you look in the actual artwork for Riding Dirty, it's literally on the back cover. So you don't even have to go deep into the artwork. If you look at the back cover of the Riding Dirty CD, you'll see me wearing plaid shirt, black Dickies, and the red 11 Jordans.
Was there a moment where it changed for you? I asked a lot of people this, but like into like a sneakerhead thing or the scene where it was all of a sudden you were collecting and trying to figure out where the limited pairs were going to be and stuff like that? Or was it just kind of a natural thing because you were always into sneakers?
No, I mean, I like sneakers. And don't get me wrong. My relationship was casual, right? Mm-hmm. It was very casual early because I didn't really have the money, right? So if I wanted a shoe, I had to work hard just to get that one shoe. But then as rap comes along, I have a career, I have my own money and stuff like that. Now I've got more money to spend on shoes. So now I'm like, okay, well, shit, you know, I want to try to get some other shit. But I didn't really get too many things. I still wasn't deep into the culture because it didn't fit our uniform at the time. So for us back then, we were Dickies and Cortez, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was it. It was mm-hmm. Dickies and Gangsta Knights. That was the show uniform. That was what we wore all the time. So wearing other styles didn't really work at the time, now that I got the money. But I would still go and buy something every now and then that I want for myself, right? But, and then, like, artwork and, like, album cover artwork wasn't always a big deal for us because we weren't getting promoted as we wanted to. We never really shot a lot of music videos. So I didn't necessarily have to have fits on deck, right? You know what I'm saying? It's all about if I want to go somewhere and I want to switch it up a little bit. But it didn't make sense for me to wear other stuff because that wasn't what people were expecting me to see in anyway, be mm-hmm. in anyway, right? But every now and then, a different Jordan would come out. Anything bread colorway, I kind of wanted it, right? Black was my color, so anything bread would work with the uniform. But we tend to stick with the black and white Cortez. But I think when everything changed for me, like I was collecting. My thing is I had shoes and I didn't really know that other people really cared about shoes mm-hmm. in that way. Mm-hmm. Right. I knew athletes had shoes. Like I knew PEs were a thing. Right. I knew certain players had their own shoes. I think the turning point for me happens. And this is, you know, deep into my career. Right. I meet Dame Bibby, who is Mike Bibby's brother. right? I meet Dame. And so Dame strengthens. I have a very casual relationship with Joe at the time. Being friends with Dame gives me a deeper proximity and a deeper relationship with Joe. But then
Joe Fat like Joe?
Going, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Fat Joe is and Mike Bibby were very cool. Like,
of course, and Mike Bibby once choked him out over a pair of sneakers.
Yeah, it's a whole family of people that I don't even really know exist in that way. Like, I know Fat Joe as a rapper. I don't know him as this very deep
Team sneaker dime. Collector.
Right. So when Dame brings me into that, and Dame's like, well, what size you wear? And I tell him my size. He's like, well, damn, we don't really have a lot of shoes for you. So Dame takes out his phone and calls Reggie Saunders.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And Dame's like,
but I'm so glad you took us to Reggie, because Reggie is such a legendary figure, but he's not in the media like that. And he gets referenced on sneaker shopping all the time. Everyone's always like, thanks to Reggie. And we're in the industry, so we know who Reggie is. And I feel like you have such a long Reggie history. So I love this Reggie story.
And a great story getting to Reggie. Amazing.
Yes. Yeah. So Dame calls Reggie. He's like, hey, man, I'm here with my boy Bun. He's like, you know Bun B? Oh man, Bun B's the best, man. You got to fuck with him, yo. We need y'all to send him some shit, man. Let's take care of Bun, you know. And from that point on, like
rest
that
is history.
That world opens, right? Like as far as seating, like all of this, because you got to keep in mind, I never, and this is like maybe 03, 04, right? I never got anything from anybody, right? I was never sponsored by anybody up to this point. And the first box that I get on my porch is like Jordans.
And man, you know what I'm saying? they haven't let up since.
And it's crazy. And then so
was Reggie. Reggie like at a high level back then too? Because I don't know what his title is right now, but you know, heads up all the entertainment marketing, sends all those free sneakers.
I've never known what Reggie's title is, but I know that Reggie is Mike's guy. So Reggie's good, like forever. Right. As long as Reggie wants to be a part of Jordan Brand, he will be. And I think Reggie's real thing is really more like helping Mike with quality control. With a lot of stuff, like the way it was explained to me is that, you know, they will, let's say it's spring, summer 2021, right? Mm-hmm. So they'll present everything that they have that they want to put out for 2021, for spring, summer 21. They'll present it to Mike. And Mike will tell them what he likes, what he doesn't like. There may be one or two things that's like, okay, that one's just for me, right? Kind of a thing, right? But they don't always see eye to eye. Like I was told that there was a season that they showed everything to Mike, and Mike hated everything, right? And Mike looks at the board. He's like, you see this dude? And he points at the Jumpman logo. And he's like, that's not a logo. That's me, motherfuckers. That's me. Stop playing with me.
Stop playing with me?
Stop playing with me. You know what I'm saying? Because this isn't just a logo and a sneaker. Like, that's me on that shoe. So every time those shoes come out, they represent me. So I just love the whole approach and the family aesthetic, because like you look at 2021 and I've been getting seeded product for over 15, 16 years now. Right. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with my presence in the industry. Right. Like I'm not getting shoes because I'm hot. Right. That's not even how Jumpman works, because there's a lot of people that would love to get seeded by Jumpman, but can't, because it's not just about being popular. Right. You have to represent something in a certain way in order for Jumpman to even associate himself with you. Right. You have to kind of be singled out in you know, the man amongst the men, so to speak, in your respective field. And so for me to still be looked at in that way by Jumpman says a lot to me, you know. And this is the connection that I've always wanted. I remember when Pimp, that was the only brand that Pimp ever wanted to be sponsored by, was Jumpman. Like, you know, we had a couple opportunities. He's like, I don't want to be sponsored by nobody but Jordan. I was like, why? He's like, because Jordan don't fuck with everybody. You know what I'm saying? You got to be the shit at what you do for Jordan to fuck with you. And so it was wonderful, because once he came home from prison, that was like one of the first things that we shot a video probably within a month of him coming home recording a new album. And that was the thing. Like, I got to bring him a box of Jordan gear. So he's wearing it in the video. And it was like the first shoe that he got from Jordan was the Gucci colorway Spizike.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for him, he loved it. Like he was like, man, where you get these from, Bun? And I was like, man, shit, that's from Jordan. Jordan sent you that.
Love that.
Man, stop bullshitting, Pee-wee. Cause he would call me. That was like my family name was Pee-wee. Mm-hmm. Stop bullshitting, Pee-wee. Like, now, nah, baby, we sponsored by Jordan. Awesome. Oh man, it's going down for real, man.
Wow.
Awesome. And then when he passed, they made you a one of one. didn't they?
They did two. Okay. Right? So they did a Jordan 1 low that was croc skin. Mm-hmm. And then they did an 8 as well.
Okay.
So they did an 8 as well. I gave the 8 to his oldest son, mm-hmm. Chaddy Boo, Chad Jr. I gave the 8 to him because he was my size at the time. So I had both pairs. So I kept the 1 low. He took the 8. But I think he just wore them. I think he wore the shit out of them. I don't know. Okay. I'm not sure if he still has them.
You know, around the time in the early 2000s, Jay-Z gets the Reebok deal. Obviously, Big Pimpin', you know, a big moment in your career, kind of like brings you guys to the East Coast and mainstream audience. You had said in a complex list, it was like your 50 favorite sneakers of all time, that Jay actually just gave you and presented you with the S-Dots when they first came out. Do you remember that happening? Like, how'd that go down?
I think it was really, if it happened, that would have had to happen probably at Magic, if I'm not mistaken. That would have probably happened at Magic, right? Because they used to have a very big presence at the Magic convention in Vegas. One year in particular, I remember it was in the early stages of him and Beyonce dating. Like, their booth had like a full bar. They had like Rockaware and like the S-Dots on one side, and then Dame had his clothing line and the Pro mm-hmm. Kids on the other side. Mm-hmm. Just this, and you know, this is the same time as Nelly, right, with Vocal, getting ready to debut Apple Bottoms and all of that. So hip hop had a very strong presence at Agenda back then. Nike still did build outs back then before right. they went to private appointments. So it would almost definitely have to have been around that time, right? But it wasn't like I was given the shoe, like, oh, this is our new shoe, here you go. It's like, yo, we're going to hook you up. So I got many pair. Like, I got okay. that box on the porch. This was like a great time for me. I was getting hit up with the boxes. And this was the beginning of the conversation with me and Dame doing our collaboration with Pro Kid. So there's like the Bun B Pro Kid, the Pimp C Pro Kid. I think there's a Rap-A-Lot Pro Kid, right? We did several styles of shoes together. But a really good sneaker story from Jay was when I actually flew to New York to record Big Pimpin'. I go to the office and there's like maybe 100 boxes of the Rockefeller Uptowns.
Okay.
Air Force Ones. I don't wear Air Force Ones. Right. That's not a shoe of choice for me. Mm-hmm. Right. Because so typically for me, a shoe, I'm a 10, right, as far as length, but yep. I got a wide foot. So I tend to buy a 10 and a half. So Air Force One is going to, as soon as I put Air Force One on, it's creased.
Yeah.
It's creased, right? So it wasn't, I'm not getting my money's worth out of that particular style. So it's not my style of preference. And so I was offered the shoe and I declined it. Now I'm good.
You didn't want a pair of Rockefeller Air Force Ones, man?
I did not. I did not. And it's no disrespect to them, it was really more of the style of the shoe. Now, if they did a Rockefeller Cortez or Air Max, something that I knew I was going to rock, I would have took it. My son gets mad with me to this day. One, because he actually wears Air Force Ones. And two, like, Jay-Z is one of his favorite artists. So he was like, man, I could have had the Rockefeller Air Force One back when nobody had them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it tough, like, being friends with, like, Mayer and Clark Kent and all those guys and not wearing Air Force Ones, given that it's, like, their favorite sneaker?
No, I stay out of the way. I just stay out of the way, right? That's a conversation that we don't even have to have. And I've had some choice shoes before, don't get me wrong, some very nice Air Force Ones, but it just wouldn't be my shoe of choice. Like, the toe box is just too wide and it's going to crease. That's another problem I have with Jordan Ones. I tend to typically run into that same problem with a Jordan One, but I'm a lot more careful with a Jordan One when I walk. So
it's interesting to hear that you're not that much of an Air Force One guy, because I kind of associate you, again, as far as ATF is concerned, and you going into Bespoke 21 Mercer. I remember those Space Jam Air Force Ones you did with Izzy Mateo yeah. back in the day. Like, there were some big bun shoes back in that era.
Yeah, and so the whole thing, like, with Clark and ATF, like, I remember Clark hits me, and Clark is literally like, are you ready? Like, it's basically, it's like, are you ready? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, I know you fuck with shoes. I know you're a collector and you get some shit. He's like, are you ready to see? It's like, it's almost like Morpheus in the Matrix, right? Yeah. Like, you could take this pill and go back to, you know, rocking GRs and quick strikes when you can, and tier zeros if you're able or whatever. Or you could take this pill and we show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. And I when Clark Kent walks you into the sneaker world, there's no turning back.
Yes.
There's no turning back. You start having a deeper understanding of shoes that you have, shoes that you could have had. Like, there's so many different shoes that I had access to, and it just wasn't my particular type of shoe. Like Dunks, I always had the access to Dunks, but was never just a Dunk guy. Again, why toe box, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not typically my shoe. All I would have had to do is just go down a half size, mm-hmm. right? And take a little pinch on the pinky toe. Mm. And everything would have changed for me.
Yeah.
But I'm just stuck with that 10 and a half.
On the topic of the Air Force One, we like to bring up certain events. 2006, the Air Force One, one night only party. Do you remember that? And there's a photo of you and Kanye. Any stories from that event?
Trying to communicate to Hiroshi.
Okay. What was that like? And so was you knew of him and you wanted to have like a conversation with him?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell him. I wanted to tell him how much I, you know, appreciated his art and his work and his shoes. Mm-hmm. And I think he gets the sentiment, right? He speaks mm-hmm. English, right? Like, he's not like he's all Japanese, right? But it's not the best English, right?
So I feel like just sometimes maybe he pretends like he doesn't speak English that well just so he can get out of conversations. not with you per se, but just in general.
Most people who speak English as a second language do not let off how much English they know. Like, the French are very well known for this, right?
Right.
The French speak fairly well English, but they refuse to speak English with Americans. That's, you know, dumb fucking, stupid fucking Americans, as they like to say. But yeah, no, that was a great party. That was a really great party. That was one of the first times Matt Howe, Phil, and I like hung out together. Like, we mm-hmm. knew each other and had been in communication, but that was like one of our first times really hanging out. One of my best friends in the world now, right? Yeah. And has nothing to do with sneakers, right? Kind of, that's the same thing with Pete, right? Like, I meet Pete.
Yes.
Sneaker Pimps, right? Mm-hmm. I meet Pete at Sneaker Pimps, but then it immediately goes to food.
Yeah.
Right, which is crazy. The fact that the only shoe that only time I've ever really talked about shoes with Pete is when we did the Ewing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
When we did you gotta eat this shoe. It's almost exclusively snack talk, right? I don't care where we are in the world. If we see like some new Oreos, you're getting that call. Like right then, you're getting that call.
Awesome.
Like new snack alert. But no, it's amazing to have friends like that, man. And again, when I talk to Mary, we almost never talk about shoes. Because I mean, at this point, what is there to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I tell you who doesn't really get enough credit, though, is Greg Street.
Mm. Yeah. We had Greg on here a few months back, yeah.
You know, Greg Street is not just a sneaker collector. Like, he could really teach people about collecting, period, mm-hmm. right? Collection, cataloging, all of those things. He has every shoe, right? That's understood. I'm almost certain Greg has two pairs of every shoe.
And he had them a decade ago. Like,
yeah,
like,
he's had them since.
He was already, yeah.
I don't believe Greg Street ever bought a shoe for resale price. You know what I'm saying? If he did, he was very quiet about it. But he's been very connected over the years. But he's also, because he's been this radio DJ for all these years, right? He's got every promo item that every artist ever had that came mm-hmm. through. Like, one year for my birthday, he gave me a promo tee from an album that I don't even remember us having this tee. Like, I never owned this tee ever. And he sent me like two of them, like wrapped in plastic, pristine mint condition. Just randomly, I figured you might want these. I'm like, the fuck are these? Like, where did you even have these? He was like, they sent me this. Jive sent me this on promo. I went to Greg's house one time in Atlanta. He has everything. Like, every kind of hip-hop collectible. He's got some things custom. Like, he's got a custom chess set that he had made for him where all of the pieces are people from hip-hop.
Wow. One thing about collecting, one thing I liked that I was going back and reading, you were a big fan that if you were wearing a designer sneakers, you would get them to sign it. I think the Tiffany Dunk, and I also think the Yeezy One. Is that true?
Well, so the Yeezy One, I couldn't get signed. So there's a great story about that. So it's South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. I'm at South by Southwest. This is when, this is the weekend that Kanye announces the Good Company takeover at South by Southwest, right? Good Music. Yeah, I'm sorry. I said Good Company. Good Company is a local barbecue place I just passed by. I just got my truck washed across the street. But and so I'm at South by Southwest. Rick Ross is supposed to perform.
Okay.
Also, Rick Ross misses his flight. It's a fader for it, right? Okay. So Andy calls me and asks, can I come and do fader for it? They need a favor. I'm in town. I got the music already. At this point, I wanted a few rappers that's consistently at South by Southwest. So he knows I'm in town. I told him, yeah, I can come through. So I go. It's literally after I watched Theophilus London introduce Solange, and I had to talk to Theophilus because he had the Jordan 5s on that day. Like,
okay,
it was amazing that the day I saw him, and I always tease him. If you look at his page, every picture in my caption is, I'm like, and he did it with J's on. Because nobody's been more consistent.
He loved those black and silver 5s, always.
Always. Yeah. That's always been, and that's his poison. If he has to pick something to wear, he's going to pick that, like, nine times out of ten. Mm-hmm. So I did the performance, and I have the Yeezys on, right? So I'm like the first guy. I'm flexing hard at South by. So I do the performance. We're going back to the truck. Ye pulls up for sound check. Mm-hmm. He sees me with the shoes on. He looks at the shoes. He looks at me. He looks at the shoes. And so he knows I didn't get them from him.
Okay.
Right? He's like, nice shoes. And I'm like, thank you. I would love it if you would sign them. He looks at me. He looks at the shoes. He looks at me. He's like, but you're not going to wear them no more if I sign it.
Okay, fair point.
So he wouldn't do it? He wouldn't do it?
And he just kind of moved on.
Okay.
How did you have him early? Like, how early was this?
Oh, I mean, I had him. This was before release.
Yeah. Is that, like, is that a Nike Dawn thing? Like, how does
Dawn
that happen?
Yeah, Dawn Baxter.
Oh, of course, of course.
My Nike rep. So, like, I got Reggie on one hand and Dawn on the other hand.
That's a combo, man.
Yes. Iconic duo right there.
I am a blessed man. And I'm almost certain that Clark kind of pushed me to Dawn, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Do you feel okay asking people for sneakers? Because we actually have this conversation a lot between us where we know these people who work in brands or who work at stores. But sometimes it's unclear if it's – you just wait for stuff to show up, or is it fair to go ahead and ask?
For me, I'm in a different position, right? So I'm not, like, asking the manager or, like, the homie that works at the shop, right?
Right.
Like, I have friends that have actually, like, grown retail shoe businesses, right? So I've known Peter and Eric for years.
S&S.
Right?
S&S, yeah.
You know, so once, you know, I did the 10-year anniversary for S&S in Stockholm through Dawn, through Nike. And Peter's always like, yo, if there's anything you need that you have trouble getting, right? Because Peter knows I know people.
Right.
Right? So there's always the option, right? Like, if you can't get it anywhere else, give me a call. I'll see what I can do. I don't like doing that. I don't like having to call an owner, right, for something like that, you know? But that's just me. Like, I know people that lean on dudes. And the guy can give him 99 pairs of shoes, and dude, he doesn't get the 11th pair. I mean, the 100th pair. Yeah. All of a sudden, this dude is a bitch. He's fake. Like, you know what I'm saying? I've been holding him down, all this type of shit. It's all love, man, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't get every sneaker, right? Like, there are certain shoes that I don't call Reggie for. Like, I still like the chase, right? And then, like, for example, and then there's the other thing is, I don't get seeded women's shoes from Jordan. Right. So if I want the cream Off-White fours, I got to go figure that out.
Yeah.
Because you're just
the new silver toe Jordan ones that are getting ready to drop. I love that shoe, but I can't call Reggie and act Reggie for a girl's shoe. I don't think seating works that way.
Interesting.
Got it.
I saw another shoe that you said you couldn't get your hands on was the undefeated fours, where you had asked James Bond if he could hook you up with them, and he's like, ask for something else.
Yeah, so I mean, and that took a lot. That took a lot. And that was one of those things where you're like half joking.
Yeah.
With somebody.
Yeah. You give the suggestion, like, hey, just like,
hey, man, you know, yes. And by the way, James, if you guys had any Olive Fours sitting around, man, by
you
all
had
means,
that green military jacket in the tuck, right? Ready for it?
Yes. Of course. Of course. The reversible joint is orange on one side and green on the other.
There we go.
I can hit it either way.
Yeah.
But James has been amazing. James has always kind of, like, whenever there's a And again, I meet him after the fours, right? So as long as I've known, whenever there's an undefeated release, James will send it over, you know? Yeah. But and that's, I'm lucky, right? Like most of the guys I know that have stores end up with collaborations. Mm-hmm. Derek will send me something, you know, politics. Whatever they make in politics, they'll send me something. Corporate, you know, my guy Matt up at corporate when they did the CP3 collaboration, he sends me something. I get so much stuff from everybody, man. You know what I'm saying? People in Oneness, you know, Oneness will send me stuff. There's so many different places. I can't even get into like social status in Monier, right? Because
of course.
And James, I mean, once James came to the city, James immediately started reaching out to people. It's like, look, you guys, you know, you guys are family. So if there's something you need, please let us know. And just, you know, I mean, this shit just kind of happens for me, right? Like, there's only some, like, trophy rooms, right? Like, that's the shoe that maybe I would have to chase.
Okay.
But you got him.
Right. Yeah, but I got him. Right, like that, but that's the shoe I was prepared to chase. Right, they're right here.
Bun, can we talk about the chase? Are you following the controversy around this shoe?
What, the blue laces?
The blue laces, Bun.
Yes. So if you look at my post, that's what I said. I was like, I got the shoe. I was like, I got the shoe, but no blue laces.
What do you make of that?
Well, Marcus hit me right. So Marcus explained it in the comments.
Okay. And they are.
I need to know what Marcus said about these laces, because the whole internet is you know, speculating that there's all these backdoor pairs or fake pairs.
So I was seeded by Jumpman.
Okay.
And there's talk of a shock drop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which I don't know if I don't believe those numbers. If you guys have seen that, the list of the sizes and
I saw that. Numbers. I do think they're hitting sneakers, but I don't know about those sizes.
I don't believe those numbers. I just can see them going with 200 and like less than 250 pair for an online release that millions of people are going to fight for. I just don't see that. But so Marcus says the blue laces are exclusive from Trophy Room. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that means Trophy Room pairs or like, because I think you may have to buy the blue laces. I'm not sure. Okay. Right? Because he wasn't very clear and I didn't want to get into it. In the comments about it, because I can only imagine he's getting beat up right now.
He is.
But
people believe he backdoored thousands of pairs.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
To be honest. But people always assume that, right? Especially if it's a shoe that they don't think they're going to get, right? That's kind of the way that's like setting your alibi up early, right? For when you don't get them. Mm-hmm. Just like, man, I probably won't get this shoe because they're already backdoored like thousands of pairs of them. But I don't think those numbers are really out there. Now, like, I know there's a couple of pairs early, and people get shoes early. We know this, right? It doesn't have anything necessarily to do with the store every time. But this one, because of how exclusive the shoe is, that's why a rumor like that can even float.
Rumor has it.
I mean it's a salacious release anyway, right? It's got all kind of it's a shoe built around controversy, so I mean, look, let it live.
Another Jordan collaborator where you kind of paid it forward or paid it back with is there was a story where Khaled tour bus had caught on fire and he had lost all of his sneakers and you like hooked him up with a bunch of shoes. Like, what happened there?
Well, I offered. Oh, yeah. He declined. But I knew that Khaled had a very extensive collection of shoes. And I also knew that Khaled and I were the same size. Right. And this was like a very pivotal moment, right? For Khaled. For one, he's on the bus because he doesn't really like to fly, right? Like him and Joe are like deathly afraid of airplanes, right? So that's already a funny situation, right? He can't do anything but wait on the next bus, and everything's on the bus. Like, if you're not going to fly, if you're on the bus, you take extra shit when you tour on the bus because there's room for it, right? Whereas if you took a plane, you probably only take what you felt you would wear, right? And on a plane, you're condensing, right? But on a tour bus, you're kind of expanding, right? We're going to put every fucking thing. We're going to bring everything we can bring on this thing. Ask Wale about shoes on buses.
A lot?
The most. And Wale's top five rapper shoe collections.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Easily. Definitely. Definitely.
Easily. Right. If you take DJs and producers out of it, he might be top three.
Bun, you mentioned Khaled being the same size. Do you ever see stuff show up for him and you're like, you think that maybe you missed out on it because he got it?
Only thing that Khaled got that I get are the shoes he designed.
Okay.
My box hits the Porsche the same day as it. Wait, you know what? I take that back. I have not gotten the Kiss of Death yet.
Okay.
But I talked to Edison and Edison says it's coming. I got the 14.
Because I just don't know. To me, you're on that level in the Reggie Saunders Rolodex where you're right there with Mark Wahlberg. But I don't know if like Mark Wahlberg gets a package first and you're like, come on, come on, come on.
Mark Wahlberg definitely gets a package first.
Have you talked to Mark about shoes?
I have not. I've only ever been in the same space as Mark Wahlberg one time. And that was at Matsuhisu in L.A. And he could tell I was a rapper, but he didn't know which rapper I was. And so he asked the guy, is that Kanye West?
No.
Oh, boy.
Cause I,
you had look, the Yeezys on?
I did not have Yeezys on. I guarantee you I didn't have Yeezys on. But I always go, whenever I would go to L.A., Travis and Skinhead Rob would always take me to lunch. Okay. And that's Travis's go-to spot was Matsuhisa. And we happened to be in there, and Lindsay Lohan and who is Lindsay? It wasn't Nicole Richie, but Lindsay Lohan and someone else is at lunch. Quincy Jones is with Hugh Hefner's ex-wife at lunch. Oh, Lila Rashawn, who's Sunshine from Harlem Nights. She's Antoine Fuqua's ex-wife. She's there, and then Mark Wahlberg is at another table, and we're probably two tables apart. And I'm there with Travis Barker, right? So it's unmistakable who Travis is, right? Mm-hmm. So it's obvious Travis is somebody. And Travis has a very close proximity with hip-hop people. And Mark has had some proximity with hip-hop, right? But he's a little far removed at this point. So sure. I think for him to figure, like, who's having lunch in Matsuhisa in Hollywood with Travis Barker, right? He's got to be a rapper. He's not big enough to be a football player. He's too big to be a basketball player. So he's got to be a rapper. Right. And the waiter came over. He's like, I'm going to tell you guys something funny after they leave. We died laughing.
But speaking of other Travises, obviously you have a connection with Travis Scott being you're both from Houston. I saw you posted that photo on Instagram where like did he bless you with the SB dunks?
Yes. So funny story. We're in the area, right? So I'm at Sneaker Summit, which is probably the biggest consignment store here in Houston, possibly Texas for that matter. Good friends of mine hanging out there. And so so somebody comes in, I think it's the owner, Brian. He's like, yeah, man, Travis's cafe just opened. I'm like, word, really? So we had heard that he was building a cafe right next door to Space, the sneaker store. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll go by and pass by there. So my guy Lane's with me. Lane's like, I ain't doing shit. Let's go over there. Who knows? And so we go, we park, and there's a woman outside. She's on the phone, right? And so I recognize her. She's Travis's aunt, right? She's the manager. She was the manager of Space. So she's in front of the cafe, and she's on the
Space
phone.
Is
she's
the like, hold on a second. Sneaker store he has?
Space is his sneaker store.
Yeah.
And so she's like, hold on a second. Hey, you here to see my nephew? And I'm like, I just came to see the cafe. He's here. Yeah, he's in the back. Just go all the way to the back. Like, okay. So we go all the way in. The cafe is nice. A couple of people in there eating wings, drinking smoothies and shit. So we go all the way to the back, and he's out there just sitting on the Lambo, just kind of chilling. Oh, gee, what's up? What's up? And I'm just hanging, just came to see the new spot. So he comes in, woo-woo. And so we're just talking, and all of a sudden he just stops. He's like, you got the dunks? I was like, I don't actually have the dunks. I've been trying to get the dunks, but I said, I haven't had the best of luck. He's like, I'll be right back. Leaves out the back door, goes into the space, the store, comes back out, Travis Scott SB special box, right? And it's got somebody's, it's got a name on it. Like, that's the funny shit. Yeah, so it's got like a posted name on it. And I'll be honest, it said Ross. But I don't know if Ross is my size, right?
Okay.
You may have taken Rick Ross's shoes.
I don't know. I didn't take shit.
Allegedly. Could have been another shit. Ross.
I was given. I was given. But we're going to assume it's another Ross. I just can't believe Rick Ross is a 10 and a half.
Ross Geller?
I got to believe Ross.
Ross Keller. Yeah. It's a safer bet. Yeah.
I feel like there's so much happening in Houston in terms of sneakers too. You have PJ Tucker out there, you know, like when did you connect with PJ on a sneaker tip?
So just knowing the same people, right? Just kind of knowing the same people. You start hearing like, yo, PJ's looking for this, PJ's looking for that. And at first I was like, man, this dude likes sneakers, right? Then you realize it's way further than likes sneakers, you know? And so I go to games, I meet him casually or whatever. And we just, it's like, I think what did he want? He wanted the Transformers. That's what he wanted.
Okay.
That was the first time PJ spoke to me. He was like, yo, OG, I know you know. He's like, do you have the Transformers? I was like, I didn't get those. I was like, I don't get. So there's still a very, a hierarchy in that system where I don't get everything. Like I tell people, I get seated all kinds of shit from Jumpman, but I didn't get Wahlbergs. I didn't get Macklemore's shoe, you know? You know, and so, but I was like, man, no, I didn't get those. But I was like, even if I did, I wouldn't have your size. He's like, yeah, I know who got my size. And then we just, from there, we just kind of went forth and there's not really too many people here he could talk to about that, right? Mm-hmm. That would get it, right? And there's not, and on the other side, there's not a lot of people that he can sort of let in his circle, right? He has to be protective of himself. But I mean, I just from a personal collection standpoint, I think from the variety of shoes that he has, and then he's got the income.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there's things that he's collected over the years, but he's one of those guys that's in position to like, he's like, I want every grail. Like, I want every grail. And I've got some ill shoes. He showed me some shit. I was like, I've never seen that shoe in my life. Like the I call them the suit and ties. I think it's the Legends of Summer pack.
Yeah.
Right?
You got the twos.
It goes by different names, right? Because Legends of Summer was a tour. But the insert on the shoe says, on the shoe say suit and tie. So there's the one, right? There's the Tinker one with the metal toe box, right?
Right.
He's got the same shoe, but it's all 3M.
Wow.
I never even knew there was a 3M version of that shoe. I'm like, this dude is a problem.
Yeah. How do you feel about, you know, Travis and PJ and you, like this Houston kind of little mini conglomerate of sneakers and sneaker personalities? And
no, don't leave out Maxo. Don't leave out Maxo.
Maxo, Chris. Yes. Of course, yep. Maxo. And he was on full size one. But how do you feel about, you know, this kind of group in Houston now?
I love it because, you know, this just shows that as I tell people all the time, right, musically as a culture in Houston. Like, if we ever had the same opportunity and resources available that people who live in New York or live in L.A., right, have in terms of, like, media exposure, right, you know, proximity to all these different outlets and magazines and TV shows and all of that stuff. Like, if we ever get close to that level of opportunity or pool of resources, the South will take over. It's a numbers thing, right? There's more people in the southern region than there are in the West, the East, or the Midwest. It's just a numbers thing, right? We've got a lot of land mass down here. And so as hip-hop as a culture starts to grow, lifestyle, all these things start to grow, we start realizing that if we show people that we're aware of it and that we want it, they'll get it to us. So in the early days, I remember I was one of the few people because I would go on Fairfax and I knew a lot of the guys. My guy Chris Barnett, was at Echo at the time, and he kind of walked me through that whole West Coast aesthetic, you know, that whole Fairfax crew and the Hundreds guys. I got to meet Ben and Bobby and then Crooks, I'm, you know, meeting G and all these guys. And you find yourself just on the cusp of all this stuff, even Nikki, right? Before there's a store. And so guys are giving me stuff and I'm wearing it. And this is like in the very early days of online shopping. So like nobody's stocking it here, because it's still primarily this West Coast thing. So Crooks ends up doing a website, but they don't really put everything that's available, right? It's a couple of tees, different stuff. It's very light. So Karma Loop is the one that kind of blows that shit open for everybody, right? Selco. And so Selco ends up being the biggest. And these guys, even when they do start opening accounts across the country, Karma Loop is selling more Crooks and Castles than Crooks and Castles is selling.
Right.
Crooks and Castles, right? And so then it becomes a lot easier for people to get the stuff, right? So I remember in the early days of like Wiz's collab with Diamond Supply, Rick Ross's collab with Diamond Supply, right? And as these different artists who are further removed from this West Coast scene start to embrace it, Currency, right? So then people start to see the logos, they start to see the clothing, and it's like, okay, well, that shit's fresh. What else do they got? You know? And then things just kind of take over from there. I mean, I think the beauty of what we're doing in Houston is that we understand the culture as far as being a part of it, right? Like Trav's fresh kid, Maxo's a fresh kid, you know what I'm saying? And so because of the fact that we understand the taste within the culture, now we can market direct to them with our merch, right? So instead of me having to go and do a collab with someone, which is cool, right? That works. But if I already know it and I could, you know, realistically put together an infrastructure that can produce this stuff, I know what kind of shit fresh kids want. I'll make them the shit that I want, you know? I'll just make them fresh shit. So look at Travis. No one really, I don't think anybody sells, maybe Justin and Drew, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know any hip-hop artist that's doing more merch than Travis.
Did you get the meal? The McDonald's bun?
I didn't get the meal. I don't eat at McDonald's, unfortunately.
What?
But I got the shirts. Jack
sent you?
I got the shirts. Now, I did pre-order the cacti. I pre-ordered the seltzer.
Okay.
I'm ready to try that. But and that's another thing. I've never asked Travis for any. I consistently buy merch through, because if I show people I'm supporting them, maybe they'll want to. Maybe they'll decide, hey man, you don't have to. Where'd you get that hoodie from? Like, I ordered that shit online. Oh gee, you ain't got to do that, man. We'll send you something. But I think it's important to show. You know, show support of people.
100%. I love that. It's such a good moment to show you that I'm not afraid to pay and show other people, like, look, we're going to support this.
And then it puts other people in a funny place, because once I get it and I show that I paid for it, now it's like, if you ask for it, you look like a sucker now. Because I'll show people that I got it, and I bought it, hashtag support your friends. You know what I'm saying? Albums come out. I don't just repost. It's very easy to post somebody's album cover, shit like that. I like to post, show that the purchased, when you buy that shit, you can see it's been purchased and not just download. Look, streaming works, right? If you're not going to buy it, at least stream the shit out of it. So if you're going to listen to it on Apple Music, that's cool. But if these are people that you call your friends, $10 ain't shit for an album. $25, $30 ain't shit for a t-shirt, $44 a hoodie. That shit adds up. And if you're an artist, you know those numbers add up.
Bun, you talked about, you know, you getting to make stuff and knowing what's cool. And one thing that you did get to make was you got to design a sneaker for Chris Paul for the All-Star game. Like, how did that happen? I know obviously with your connection to Jordan, but what was that like actually making a shoe for Chris Paul?
So Reggie calls and Reggie's like, yo, because I'm begging Reggie constantly to make a shoe. That's one thing I have no shame about. I'm like, yo, let me touch a Jordan. Let me touch any silhouette. Doesn't got to be a retro. Let me touch something, right? That's my dream thing, is to design a Jordan, right? Because at this point, I've done Greedy Genius. I've done Pro Keds, right? I've done a couple of collaborations. But this is a big deal, right? All-Star Game's going to be in Houston that year. And so Chris wants a shoe that's representative of the city and the culture. This is before Chris is a Rocket, right? This is Chris in California, you know? But he wants a shoe that when he wears it in Houston, looks like a Houston shoe. Reggie's like, Bun's got to do it. I go over to the house. Chris takes me in the closet. I find out that for every CP that he's done, every one of his shoes that he's designed, there's a three for it in that colorway.
A corresponding Air Jordan 3.
I heard his collection is crazy. PJ actually told me Chris Paul's collection is wild.
Chris Paul's shit is crazy, right? Melo too. Melo's got some crazy shit too. Mm-hmm. But and the ill thing with Chris is that, so for example, when a Jordan athlete decides they don't want to be with the team they're with, right? And so there's like, okay, he may go here, here, or here. They make shoes with the anticipation of whichever one of those teams they may end up going to. So that as soon as they get there,
yeah,
they get to rep instantly.
That's like us with social assets. We put the jersey swaps just in case of the outcome.
Just in case. You never know. Yeah. Right? You want, you know, it's like, you know, we sell the winner and the loser tease goes to Africa, kind of a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I start, so then at the time there was this, he had just left New Orleans, right? But there was like three prospective teams that they were saying he was going to go to. So they had made the CP for each team and the coordinating three. So that was my thing, right? Like he had threes for colorways that he probably can't even wear because he's not associated with these teams.
Yeah.
Bibby, I don't know, man. Bibby's closet was crazy. Because I think a lot of it was the fact that he had, and you'll see it with Joe too. This is the glory days of Nike, right? Where, yeah, we're going to send you, you're like, yo, I need something special. It's like, well, we don't have nothing special now, but we'll put your logo on what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look, Joe has like these, you know, insane pairs of like super ill shoes. And then there's the Terror Squad on it. I think there's a pair of linens, right?
Grape fives.
Grape Jordan fives. Yeah. Which,
he's got the M&M fours.
He just showed those, right? They just showed him this weekend. Yeah, crazy shit. Like Joe's a mess. Joe is a mess as a human being. Right? Like you want to talk about life well lived, right? Yeah. Like overcoming your obstacles, all that type of shit. You look at all the crazy shit that Joe's been through, going to federal jail, losing his right hand guy, you know what I'm saying? All the street shit, beefs, everything. He comes out shining.
Yes.
He knows everybody. He was everywhere. He helped everybody. He was in. Joe's got a story. You name a rapper, Fat Joe can tell you a story. My first time really hanging with Fat Joe was at the MTV Awards in Miami. Where it's me, Fat Joe, and Andy Garcia sitting together. And Andy's like trying to figure out like what's going on. You know, like who are these guys? How do they have these seats?
Mm-hmm. Is that Kanye West?
But I had heard, yeah, exactly, right? But I had heard that his daughter was going to be the Golden Globe girl that year. So, like, every year at the Golden Globes, they pick a legendary actor's daughter to hand out the Golden Globes. So that year, his daughter was the Golden Globe girl. So I kind of broke the ice with that. And after that, Andy was cool. Andy was tapping. Like, so then it's like, hey, who's that guy? Who's these guys? Kind of a thing. But, I mean, you know, you know, you can have better people to break the culture down to than Andy Garcia. Let me know. You can find somebody better than that. Let me know.
But you're wearing the Urban Necessities hat right now, and Joe's selling a big chunk of
it. I always wear this hat if I know something sneaker is involved. I wear this, and there's a camera. I wear this hat.
But JC's what do you best. Think about He's him really getting rid guy. Of all the rare shoes in his collection? Not all of them, but
I mean. Joe's worn them, right? And I think that's a difference, right? Like, usually when people sell their collections, it's a lot of pristine stuff, right? Mint condition. They're trying to get top dollar for it. I feel like these, I mean, from Mayer, I mean, what more can Mayer prove?
Right.
With shoes, right? And Mayer wore those shoes. Like, that's the other thing. Like, I'm not really sure how many of those shoes were not worn. Maybe the packs. Right, like Mayer has a bunch of multiple packs where something came with like three pairs of shoes or four or five different pairs of shoes in that whole pack. Like he's got a bunch of crazy promotional pack shit, right? And I can imagine, like I got a bunch of stuff, but once, like for example, the Year of the Rabbit Air Force One, right? I got the one that came in the candy wrapper.
Yep, shout out to Rocky
packaging. Shoe. That shit's huge. It's cumbersome. And so it's never stored with everything else. You can't put it with everything else. Mm-hmm. So it's always in its own place. And because it's in its own place, it's never like in arm's reach. So I've never worn them. But I have to go and find them and move that big motherfucker every time we move to a different place and carry that shit around. And so I can understand like that. But for the most part, like them shoes that were the shit, they wore that shit. Mayer wore that shit.
You got the experience.
He flexed. He got everything he's supposed to get out of that shit. I remember I met Mayer at A-Life. I was at A-Life. And he was like buying everything. Like, he was just in there just buying shit, like very casually. What's that? Yeah, fuck it. I don't care. Give me that. Like, he was quintessentially New York, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yo, this is my boy, man, this is Bumby. Oh, what's up, man? It's good. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Very cool. As soon as he leaves, yo, that dude buys everything. That dude comes in there every week, drops two racks for no reason. He's going to go to four other spots today and buy shit. I'm like, who? But no one can tell you what Mayor does.
Nope.
I love it.
Yeah.
I just found out, like, perfect pair. Like, I never knew what he did. It took me a while to figure that out, right?
The Mayor thing is funny, too. It's one of the top Google things. If you type in Mayor sneakers, it's like, what is his job? People just asking.
He says he's an Uber driver. Bun.
That's Uber X for sure.
Before we go, around this time of year, All-Star Weekend, the Michael Jordan birthday party is always a standout. We talked about you being at a lot of events. Any stories stick out from the Michael Jordan birthday parties?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Michael Jordan birthday party in Houston. This is the time where I finally get to meet Mike face to face.
Okay.
This is not the first time this has happened to me, by the way. So this is like, everything has culminated up to this moment, right? I've been repping the brand. They've been taking care of me. Reggie's been bigging me up. I keep getting invited to the golf tournament, but I don't play, so I never go, right? Mm-hmm. Which is basically, that's how you get to know Mike.
Play golf, right?
If you fuck with the brand, you go to the big golf tournament because they're there like 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of in the space where you get personal time with Mike. But I don't golf, so I never go. So this is my opportunity. And I'm doing speaking engagements. I'm doing hostings. I'm designing shoes. I'm doing every fucking thing in Houston, right, with Jordan Brand, helping him pick locations. Like, he's like, this is where we want to go. What do you think, Bun? We should do it here. Okay, we're going to do it here. All that type of shit. Mike comes in. I finally get to meet Mike. We shake. I hand my phone to somebody. He's, hey, could you take a picture? It's like a – I don't think it's the waiter that passes out the drink. I think it's the guy that picks up the cups, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And takes the picture, whatever. I don't even look at it. I, you know, finish talking with Mike. I'm engaged. So it's like me, Mike talking. Reggie's there. Chris Paul is there. Like, all of these great guys is around. We're having this great conversation. They leave. I'm like, yo, I just met Mike. I look at my phone and my picture's blurry as shit. My picture is trash. And I'm like, I can't ask him again. I'm not even going to.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to be like, I don't want to be that guy, right?
Which guy?
That, yes. My man, the picture, you they fucked my Houston picture guy. Can we? No. So it's crazy. And the same thing happened to me with Bruce Springsteen at Glastonbury in England. At Glastonbury with Dizzy Rascal, and I'm walking to the bathroom, and Bruce Springsteen's by himself. Like backstage walking, and I'm like, yo, you're the boss. Like,
yeah, the boss. Yeah.
Right? And he's very good at being Bruce. He's like, you know, he kind of makes a Bruce Springsteen kind of face.
Yeah. I am.
And some random person, hey, excuse me, I'm sorry, can I get a picture? He's like, sure. Take the picture. Springsteen walks off, blurry as shit.
Oh, man. Well, it counts, though. It counts. You blurry
it
or
happened.
Not. It happened. Exactly.
Trust me, I promise it happened.
We believe you. Listen, Bun, anything else we should be on the lookout for? Thank you so much for giving us your time. So great to chop it up with you.
Yeah.
No, man, I appreciate it, man. I love this very calm version.
Yes.
Right. This is a lot calmer.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a lot calmer than full size, right? I have to say. Right.
Absolutely.
You gave like birth to my whole shtick. So like, when you were on Full Size Run, you were with Trinidad. You were our first guest on like the new version of the show,
and right, I had asked with all the editing and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and I had asked you if you had resold sneakers, and I wasn't planning on asking it for you. And you looked at me like, "Why the fuck are you asking me this question?" And then I was just like, "Oh, all right." Like, I didn't know how to respond to it. And ever since then, I've had to relive doing that, because Joe was like, your reaction was too classic to that, but it was never planned that way. It was just a spur of the moment thing. So thank you.
I'm happy to be a part of your legacy, Matt.
I'm very happy to be a part of it. I gotta tell the grandkids something when I get older.
That's the one.
You'll have a lot to tell them. Bun, thank you so much again. This was really fun.
I enjoyed it, man. Thank you guys so much. Awesome. Man, good luck on the most wanted shoe of the year, man. This fucking thing one is crazy. Flex. I have to say, I have to do it.
They look good, Bun.
Guys, thank you so much, man. I appreciate
it. Thanks,
Bun. Take care,
Bun. Appreciate it,
Bun. Peace.
Our producer is Dave Matthews. Our associate producer is Jasmine Plata. Sound engineering done by Kyle Garvey. Special thanks to Jennifer Stewart and Shiva Bayet. The Complex Sneakers Podcast is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.